Hello, everyone. My name is Elijah David, Minister of Trust of Apostolic Sabbatarian Congregation. Today is June the 28th, 2025, or it's the fourth day of the fourth lunar month, 2029. We will start our first service today with a continuation of two timely readings. We're going to be on number 30, entitled the sermon, The Revival and the Reformation, crowned with the purification. All right, the name of our sermon is The Revival and Reformation, crowned with the purification, March the 6th, 1948, by B.T. Holler. For the text for our subject this afternoon is found in the Malachi's prophecy, for it treats of a revival and reformation such as the world has never yet known. Moreover, the fact that the prophecy is written in such a way as partially to apply unto the ancient Israel and yet specifically for the people in the latter days, for those who are approaching the great and dreadful day of the Yahshua, proves that the Reformation needed in the Malachi's day is needed also in our day, for there is nothing so mysterious in the writings of the Malachi for what any Bible student can comprehend by the studying of the book itself. I shall therefore study with you the last two chapters, for the first two you can study at your leisure. We shall begin with the Malachi 3, verse 1 and 2. Behold, I will send my messenger, and he shall prepare the way before me, and the Yahshua whom ye seek shall suddenly come to his temple, even the messenger of the covenant, which is as Elijah, whom ye delight in. Behold, he shall come, says the Yahshua of the host, for he may abide the day of his coming, and he shall stand when he appears, for he is like a refiner's fire and like the full of soap. For the two persons are here disposed to you, the messenger and the Yahshua. The messenger is to precede the coming of the Yahshua. He is to prepare the way. Then the Yahshua is to appear. And who could this messenger be? Only the one whom the Yahshua named, for he declares, behold, I will send you the Elijah, the prophet, before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Yahshua, Malachi 4:5. For this messenger of the covenant of the promise, and the typical Elijah, the prophet shall prepare the way, for he shall restore all things. For this messenger of the covenant, of the promise, and the typical Elijah, the prophet shall prepare the way, for he shall restore all things as he prepares the way. For the Yahshua will suddenly come to his temple, unto his church, and what is his work to be? To purify or cleanse his people by the weeding out all the unrepentant sinners from among them. For the question of who may abide the day of his coming, solemnly declares that we had better now get busy and do what it takes to make a stand before the cleansing began. Whom in the particular will he purify? Let us read. Malachi 3:3. And he shall sit as a refiner and purifier of the silver. And he shall purify the sons of the Levi and purge them as the gold and silver, that they may offer unto the Yahshua an offering in righteousness. For the Levites, you know, comprise the tribe from which came the priesthood, the ministers of the Yahweh, and since this prophecy is to meet its complete fulfillment in our day, the figure is true. For the Levites, the ministers of the Yahshua in our day, are to be purified. And what then? Malachi 3:4. Then shall the offering of the Judah and Jerusalem be pleasant unto the Yahweh as in the days of old. And as in the former years. For this verse implies that the offering that we now bring unto the Yahweh are not pleasing unto Him, not pleasing as in the times past. Here we have the glorious promise that not long hence there shall be a pure ministry, a pure people, a people without the gall in their mouths, without the spot or wrinkle or any such sin. Ephesians 5:27. Those who do not measure up unto this standard will not stand thereafter. No sinner shall stand in their midst. For henceforth says the Yahweh, there shall no more come into thee the uncircumcised and the unclean. Isaiah 52:1. For this glorious future is, moreover, reiterated by the spirit of the prophecy in our day. Here it is. Only those who have withstood temptation in the strength of the Mighty One will be permitted for the acting of a part in the proclaiming of the third angel's mercy when it shall have spelled into the loud cry. Review and Herald, November 18, 1908. We have been inclined to think that where there are no faithful ministers, there can be no true principle of apostolic believers, but this is not the case. For Yahweh has promised that where the shepherds are not true, he will take charge of the flock himself. Now that's the son of Yahweh, Yahshua. For the Yahshua has never made the flock wholly dependent upon the human instrumentality. But the days of the purification of the church are hastening on apace, for the Yahweh will have a people pure and true, and a mighty sifting soon to take place. We shall be better able for the measure of the strength of Israel, for the signs reveal that the time is near when the Yahshua will manifest that his fan is in his hand, and he will surely purge his floor. For the days are fast approaching, when there will be a great perplexity and confusion. For the Satan clothed in the angel's robe will deceive, if possible, the very elect. There will be God's many and Lord's many. Every wind of the doctrine will be blowing. Those who have rendered supreme homage to science falsely, so-called, will not be the leaders in. Those who have trusted to the intellect, genius, or talent will stand at the head of the rank and file. They did not keep pace with the light, those who have proved themselves unfaithful will not then be entrusted with the flock in the less solemn work. Few great men will be engaged. They are self-sufficient, independent of the Yahweh, and he cannot use them. For the Yahweh has the faithful servants who, in the shaking testing time, will be disclosed to you. There are the precious ones now hidden, who have not bowed the knee to Baal, for they have not had the light which has been shining in a concentrated blaze upon you. Testimony 5, page 80. And at a shaking time, Testimony 5, 80, we shall be better able to know how many are really serving the Yahweh, those whom we may think are to lead the church and to the kingdom may be missing, while others entirely unknown unto us take their places. Moreover, it will be found that those who are constantly drifting into the minds of the laity. Let's do it again. Moreover, it will be found that those who are constantly drilling into the minds of the laity, that there are to be no more messages sent from the Yahweh, no more truth needed, and that someone is constantly trying to deceive them, that they should keep aloof from everything that does not meet the minister's approval. Those who do this are the very ones who have already unwittingly deceived the deity and are doing their best to keep them deceived. For this fact you see stand apart like a beacon on a hill, for the only thing their carefulness not to be deceived will accomplish, unless they awake, is to keep themselves deceived forever and away from the truth. For these shall not be able to stand when the Yahshua appears in his temple. Since the revival and reformation brought to you in the Malachi is the first and the last of its kind, and is indeed to be crowned with the purification of the church, those who do not awake now will therefore speak forever. For the letter sin deception from their within should not be news unto you, for you will know that the SA Church has never in any age been deceived by any but by its own ministry. Okay, let's read that again. For the letter sin deception from within should not be news unto you, for you will know that the House of Israel Church has never in any age been deceived by any but by its own ministry, by those who have been as highly esteemed as worthy members of the Sanhedrin, those who crucified the Yahshua, those who kept the nation deceived until it was too late to recover thus it was sin before then, and thus it has been ever since, and so it is now. Stop and think this through. No, I'm not telling you something new, for you know this to be so, but you never think of it, and that is the main trouble with the entire denomination of the Seventh-day Adventist. For the church purified shall nevertheless triumph and march on to victory. Fair as the moon, pure as the sun, and terrible as an army with banners, she is to go forth into all the world, conquering and to conquer. Prophets in James 7:25. Let us once and forever realize that the devil is more sure than we can imagine. is not particular what you believe. So long as we can keep you ignorant of the revealed truth, this is what he is now doing within the SDA Church, using men of the influence, men who can put on the best front, men who are clever, who know how to gain the confidence of the people, men who can easily and quietly lead the church away from the Yahweh's messages. For today, this message of the judgment for the living, like the purification of the church with the cleansing of the sanctuary, for the Satan is doing as good a job now as he did in the Yahshua's time. It's not the knowledge of the Malachi's prophecy, the purification of the church, the judgment for the living, more important for the church, for the Adventist church, than the judgment for the dead? Does it look to you as though you are being deceived by the Bible study, or does it look to you as though you need to reform? Hear therefore what the Yahshua is about to do. Malachi 3:5. And I will come near unto you to judgment, and I will be a swift witness against the sorcerers and against the idolaters and against the false swearers and against those that oppress the harlot and the wretched, the widow, and the fatherless, and that turn aside the stranger from his right and fear not me, said to Yahshua the host. These are only some of the sins in the church in which men are indulging. Speaking of the message bearers of today and of the church's condition, inspiration further said, for they lament and afflict their souls because pride, avarice, selfishness, and deception of almost every kind are in the church. The Spirit of Yahweh, which prompts the reproof, is the trample under the foot, while the servants of the Satan triumph. For Yahweh is dishonored, the truth made of none effect. Testimony 5:2-10-11. You will receive the mark of the deliverance only if you sigh and cry against all these abominations. Ezekiel 9:4-6. Unto this fish of the sins, Yahshua called attention unto the following, and asked us to repent. Malachi 3:6-9. For I am the Yahshua, I change not, therefore you sons of the Jacob are not consumed. Even from the days of your father you are gone away from mine ordinances, and have not kept them. Return unto me, and I will return unto you, says the Yahshua the host. But you said, wherein shall we return? Will a man rob Yahweh? Yet you have robbed me. As he said, when have we robbed thee? In the tithes and offerings you are robbed, or you are cursed with a curse, for you have robbed me, even this whole nation. It means the whole nation of Israel, all 12 tribes. For these verses do not blame the individual members of the church for the robbing the Yahweh, but the whole denomination, for the whole nation. Moreover, you will note that the story of the Malachi chapter 3 begins with the chapter 2. There you will note that the Yahshua addresses the minister, not the Levite, saying, O you priests, this commandment is for you, Malachi 2:1, plainly. of them to trivialize and the fact that their validity as a rule paid faithfully tithes and offerings, Yahweh nevertheless is robbed because the Seventh-day Adventist denomination has taken the tithe and at the same time is fighting rather than accepting and promulgating his message for today, for the judgment for the living. His money is used to cheat his people from his truth instead of enlightening them. For enlightening them with it, keeping his people in the darkness and deception, even barring them from investigating the message of the hour for themselves. What a charge! Here is what the Yahweh would have the laity do. Malachi 3:10. Bring ye all the tithes and to the storehouse, that there may be meat in mine house, and prove me now herewith, saith the Yahshua of the host, if I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, that there shall not be a room to be enough to receive it. Where is one to look for the Yahweh's storehouse? Wherever Yahweh's truth is today, from wherever meat in the due season is dispensed. For the statement, bring you all the tithes into the storehouse, implies that some are already bringing into it, but not all. This alone with the charge that the whole nation is robbing Yahweh positively shows that the tithes are now brought not to the Yahweh storehouse, but to some other house. To repeat, Yahweh's storehouse has ever been and ever will be where the message of the hour is, where the present truth is, by the house from which meat and the due season is disappeared, is dispensed at the time that the tithes are paid. Since the old message, the judgment for the dead, is out of date, as is the message of the Noah's flood, it is plainly seen that inasmuch as the denomination as a whole has rejected and is fighting the message of the hour, but is still collecting the tithes of the people, it is indeed robbing the Yahweh. For his people are therefore asked to send their tithes to the storehouse, of which present truth is dispensed. For it is present truth that the flock needs now. There are many precious truths contained in the word of the Yahweh, but it is a pregnant truth that the flock needs now. Early Writers, page 63. Those who obey have this promise. Of the Malachi 3, 11 to 12. Okay, Malachi 3, 11 and 12. And I will rebuke the devourer for your sake, and he shall not destroy the fruit of your vine, neither shall your vine test her fruit before the time in the field, says Yahshua of the host. And all nations shall call you blessed, for you shall be a delight of man, saith Yahshua of the host. Under no other condition does he promise his blessing. you have hard work. You cannot make ends meet. Start paying your tithes. Note carefully that Yahweh requires not only tithes, but tithes. That is tithes and free will offering. That Yahweh requires not only tithes and tithes. Okay. It says, for he does not want them spent on something of your own devising. Let's read that whole thing over again, this paragraph. With no other condition does he promise his blessing. You have hard luck. You cannot make ends meet. Start paying your tithes. Note carefully that the Yahweh requires the tithe and these tithes with an S on it. In other words, all of the tithes, that is tithe and free will offerings, he does not want them spent on something of your own devising. You are to bring them into the storehouse. Concerning the first tithe, the Yahshua had declared, I have given the children of the Levi all the tenth in Israel. But in regard unto the second, he commanded, thou shalt eat before the Yahweh, thy Yahweh, in the place which he shall choose, the place of his name there, the tithe of thy corn and thy wine and of thine oil and the first things of thy herd and of thy flocks, that thou mayest learn to fear the Yahshua, thy Yahweh always. This tithe or is equal or its equivalent in the money they were for the 2 years to bring into the place where the sanctuary was established. After presenting a thank offering unto Yahweh and a specified portion to the priest, the offerers were to use the remainder for a religious feast in which the Levites, the stranger, the fatherless, and the widow should participate. Thus provision was made for the thank offering and a feast at the yearly festival, where the people were drawn to the society of the priests and Levites that they might receive instruction and encouragement and the service of the Yahweh. Every third year, however, this second tithe was to be used at home in the entertaining of the Levites and of the poor, as the Moses said, that they may eat within thy gates and be filled. This tithe would provide a fund for the uses of the charity and hospitality, Patriarchs and Prophets 5:30. For the command is, they shall not appear before the Yahshua empty, Deuteronomy 16:16. For Yahweh does not lie. He carries out his promises. He never fails. There is nothing more offensive unto him than the unbelief and unfaithfulness in his word. Malachi 3:13-15. Your words have been stout against me, says Yahshua. Thus he said, what have we spoken so much against thee? You have said, it is vain to serve the Yahweh. And what profit is it that we have kept his ordinance and that we have walked monthly before the lecture of the host. And now we call the proud happy yet. They that work wickedness are set up yet. They that tempt Yahweh are even delivered. Here is pointed out another need of the reform. We as a denomination are charged with the imagination that the unrighteous are better off than those who serve the Yahweh. Before drawing such a conclusion, that each first examine himself and see if he is really and honestly serving the Yahweh. Malachi 3:16-17. Then they that fear the Yahshua spake off one to another, and Yahshua hearkened and heard it, and a book of remembrance was written before him for them that feared the Yahshua and that sought upon his name, and they shall be mine, saith Yahshua the host, in that day when I make up my jewels, and I will spare them as a man spareth his own son that serveth him. If we give individual attention unto Yahweh's word, if we do all that he asks us to do, we shall indeed be his people. For his jewels, then a book of the remembrance shall be written of us, and our good and heroic deeds shall be read by the redeemed throughout eternity. Malachi 3:18. Then shall you return and discern between the righteous and the wicked, between him that serveth Yahweh and him that serveth him not. We may not now see the difference between him who serves Yahweh and him who serves him not, but the day is fast approaching when the difference will be seen by all. Malachi 4:1-4. For behold, the day cometh that shall burn as an oven, and all the proud day and all that do wickedly shall be stubble, and the day that cometh shall burn them up, saith Yahshua the host, that it shall leave them neither root nor branch. Remember ye the law of the Moses, my servant, which I commanded unto him in the Horeb for all Israel, with the statutes and judgment. Here we are asked to remember the law of the Moses, which the Yahweh commanded in the Horeb, the Ten Commandments, the statutes and judgments, Deuteronomy 4:10-14 also, Malachi 4:5-6. Behold, I will send you Elijah the prophet before the coming of the great and dreadful day of Yahshua, and he shall turn the hearts of the fathers unto the children, and the hearts of the children unto the fathers. Thus I come and smite the earth with a curse. For the word, behold, calls our attention back unto the chapter 3, verse 1, where we are told that the Yahshua will send his messenger for the preparing of the way of the Yahshua, for the judgment, for the living, for the purification. Obviously, besides preparing the way of the Yahshua, Elijah, the Yahshua's messenger, is to declare that the great and dreadful day of the Yahshua is at hand. For the work of the ancient Elijah, you know, was the closing work for the typical apostate Israel, the church. Likewise, the work of the antitypical Elijah of this day must be the antitypical closing work for his temple, the church, before the great and dreadful day of the Yahshua, Testimony Volume 3:266. Moreover, if the Elijah is a messenger, he is to have a message, for his message is to be a heart-searching, for he shall turn the hearts of the fathers unto the children, and the hearts of the children unto the fathers, for the fathers shall long to see their children saved, and the children shall long to see their father saved, and this revival reformation shall end the truth to crown it with the purification of the church, with the truth slain the antithetical false prophets of the day of today, Isaiah 66:16, for the time has come of judgment against the house of the Yahweh, and as the first beginning of that which shall be the shall the end be of them that obey not the gospel of the Yahweh. 1 Peter 4:17, for by the fire and by his sword will Yahshua plead with all flesh, and the slain of the Yahshua shall remain, and I will set a sign among them, and I will send those that escape with them unto the nation, and to Tarshish, Pul and Lud, that draw the bow unto Tubal and Avan, unto the isle of the far off, that have not heard my fame, neither have seen my glory, and they shall declare my glory among the Gentiles, and they shall bring all your brethren for an offering unto the Yahweh out of all the nations, upon horses and in chariots and in litters, and upon mules and upon swift beasts in my holy mountain. Yahushua said, the Yahshua of the children of Israel, says to Yahshua, as the children of the Israel bring an offering in a clean vessel unto the house of the Yahweh, Isaiah 66:16-20. For this thing you see takes place before the probation closes, for the escaped ones are sent unto the Gentiles for the finishing of the gospel work, together all their brethren from among them. Therefore we are to give them more earnest heed unto the things that we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. For if the word spoken by the angels was steadfast in every transgression and disobedience received a just recompense of the reward, how shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Yahshua, and was confirmed unto us by them that heard him? Let us therefore fear lest a promise being left us of entering into his rest, any of you should seem to come short of it. Hebrews 10:1-3 and Hebrews 4:1. This brings the end of Tommy Green's number 30, and the end of our study for this hour.